Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, Sports is Job listeners. I have an amazing guest for all of you today. And just to give you a little background story of how I know our guest, he is the Director of Facilities and Events at San Jose State University Athletics. But he gave me the opportunity last summer in 2019 to actually intern for him and his department. And it was a kind of interesting because I would say I'm kind of a pushy person, but I was emailing him for quite a long time, and he was like, yeah, come on, we can't pay you, but you're definitely welcome to come and do different things. And for me, that was a big moment because this was when I first accepted the position to come back to the University of Minnesota Crookston doing facilities and events. And ultimately my goal is to work at the D1 level, you know, being in positions such as himself. So to gain insight and to learn how he does things, how he operates, those different things, it really helped me transition into my job. And I know it's going to help me transition one day going to D1. So I would like to welcome Garrett Tun to the Sports is Job podcast. How are we doing today, man?
Kobe, I'm doing well today. Thank you for having me on. This is an honor and a pleasure to help out whoever is ready to go in this business, actually.
And I mean, we have to start off to give kind of people an idea what the daily operations on a normal year, I guess you'd say, on a normal year, what does it look like for you day to day?
Oh, wow. Normal year. I can't remember that right now, actually. So right now we're about the end of October, roughly right now, which means you're in the heart of all your fall sports right now. So you've got football, men's, women's soccer going on and volleyball right now. But just about a week or two away is the start of the winter season of a men's and women's basketball. So during these times right now, as we're already in the nice groove for the fall sports, you're preparing for women's and women's basketball right now. You're going to have operation meetings with all the people involved. San Jose State's a unique situation as we don't own our own arena. So we have to work with the arena, the Provident Credit Union Event Center to orchestrate like how we want to operate on game days, things like that. So when we have our operation meetings, we include them along with the regular athletic department staff on these meetings to prepare for basketball.
A lot of preparation. I definitely learned that obviously doing my job now, but seeing like even during the summer, like you guys were doing a lot of preparation when I was there, you know, logistically planning these different things. So that's definitely a big part of that. Now you got your start. You know, you were a student athlete at San Jose State on the men's basketball team, but ultimately you got your start with Marshall as a GA. You know, you were there for 2 years, got your master's in sport administration. Was working in events and facilities, was that always on your mind?
Not really, actually. So when I was a student athlete at San Jose State, I actually interned our athletic department. I did academics and I also did marketing for a little bit. So when I was applying for grad school, the one thing I learned, I didn't have enough experience for everywhere. It took me a little over a year to get my graduate assistantship at Marshall. But as I talked to these people, when I interviewed them, they were like, Garrett, we enjoyed you. It's just the experience. And it's a catch 22, being a former student athlete. How do you get experience? Which is, it's tough. I'm not denying that at all. It's, you got to learn time management very carefully. So any student athletes who are listed on here and at any D1, D2, D3 or NAIA level, start interning up in the athletic department. If you want to work in sports, it is something that it's tough to do, but the people who work in the industry are here to help you. We are here to help you. If this is your life, this is what you want to do for a career. People in the department are going to help you out. You reach that goal. But back to what you're saying about Marshall, yeah, I was applying for every single GA position imaginable. I didn't care if it was compliance, marketing, development, events, facilities, you name it, ticketing. I was applying for everything because I'm just trying to get my foot in the door. So when the opportunity at Marshall came with the offer they gave me, I couldn't turn it down. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity and I accepted it. And you got a city boy from California heading to Huntington, West Virginia. It was different, but you get there, you see how much that community loves that university, loves Marshall. Perfect example. Just watch the movie, We Are Marshall. Mm-hmm. And just the tragedy of the plane crash back in the 1970s. It's heartbreaking, but the way the community came together and you can see that Marshall then, working at the department, it was what an experience. I can't say nothing bad at all. The team who I worked for with Scott Morehouse, Andrew Brown, and Tom Ponatowicz, they taught me a lot of things and firsthand experience. You're in there getting your hands dirty and you're seeing what they did so you can adapt it as well. Then they give you like, all right, you got full rein, go take it. You can do it. So it was a great experience.
What was that now you mentioned it took you a year to really get that GA position. Did you like take a break or were you doing certain things to kind of build up your resume to get experience?
So during that break, I kept applying to grad schools and graduate assistantships. But I was working at a country club at the time, and I was also coaching high school basketball at my high school during those same times too. So I was doing that. Then I was trying to talk to people in the country club who had connection athletics and just try to pick everyone's brains and just get to know the network a little bit, actually. So, and one thing working at the country club was a lot of stuff I was doing at the country club kind of translates to facilities and events. So that kind of helped a lot, actually, with the transition to that area.
And it's interesting because you mentioned, you know, at Marshall, you were learning these different things, learning how they do things. And then ultimately they were like, here, you have the keys to drive the car. You do your thing. And for me, you know, ultimately that was the reason why I wanted to intern for you. And that was the big thing I got was I wanted to learn how you did things. My predecessor here, before I took over this job, I learned how he did things, his process, his format. And when I was interning for you, Gary and Cottrell and Julian, I saw like your sheets. One of the specific things I asked for to see was kind of your time sheets or like the different documents you had going into games, like the format. And it was like, I was like, wow, like you guys go in super detail, like at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, break this down, take this down, set this up. And you have like, who's doing what. So how did you, was that format that I'm talking about, that system, did you come up with that or was that an accumulation of the different things you learned?
So it was accumulation of all of our experience with Cottrell, Julian, and myself. We took it all together. The format is very similar to what my predecessor had at San Jose State who hired me, who's now with Sporting KC. But when I was at Marshall, the exact same thing. Here's your to-do list, write your name, go and do it. And with a football game day, it's very time-sensitive because everything's happening so quick. So yeah, Cottrell, Julian, and I are all doing something, but we need the student workers who are there to help us out or other interns to do these as well. With overseeing football game days, I have to maybe do a little bit more. I got to talk to a lot of the officials. I got to meet with teams a lot of times. So as we're doing the setup, I have my own personal timesheet that I keep track of. There's like, okay, I got to be here at 2 o'clock. At 2:07, I need to be here and check this out. Okay, at the 105 minute before kickoff, I got to meet with a lot of people to go over the game. Well, during that meeting, we also usually have to go through gates are opening. So that's where we're like, all right, gates opening. We need to have people go do this. Biggest thing you learn in this profession is, and I'm still learning how to work on, is delegate. You got to learn to delegate because if you put everything on your shoulder, you're not going to get the job done to the capability you're able to do. And with that, you also have to learn how to trust everyone. And the thing is, you're in a profession where things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. You can't expect it. You can't plan for everything. You just have to know what to do. Think quick on your feet when everything arises.
And it's crazy because, like, especially at the D1, I got to see it. And then you guys gave me the opportunity. You know, Julian connected me. I got to work with the Mubadala Silicon Classic at the time. And then we were setting up for them to host their tournament. So I saw what it was like setting up for external events and different things like that. But the logistics of it, there's so many pieces involved. Mm-hmm. And I relate it to, like, I was describing it to somebody, like I get pregame jitters as like, I was a former student athlete. Yeah. Like before every event, no matter how much I plan, I get these pregame jitters. I'm like, oh, what's going to happen? Different things like that. Do you get those nerves or are you pretty calm these days?
I will be honest. I had a meeting last week, one of our very first football operation meetings where we were going over the kind of new game day protocol. Mm-hmm. And one of my supervisors, our senior associate AD of business operations, Mike Waller, texts me to slow down. And I mean, I speak pretty fast, especially when I get a little excited. As the meeting was going, I text him and I said, I am super nervous and I am shaking right now during this meeting. And normally I don't get that nervous, but because with everything going on today with COVID, you have to take these extra precautions and no one has ever done this before. So you're like, okay, is this right? You're following county guidelines. I talked to other people in this industry, is asking, hey, what are you guys doing? Pick their brains. And we're all doing the same thing, but it's still nerve wracking because what happens and what you're saying is wrong. And you're like, you're putting the health and safety of not only the student athletes and the coaches and everyone's coming, but like the other staff members. So it was a little nerve wracking. Then we had our first game ops meeting yesterday and I was fine. I was very calm. I was collected. I was able to, so I was like, this is our plan. This, and I was confident in it. So yeah, I mean, I always had pregame jitters when I played basketball too. It's part of the game, but it's the fight or flight response. You're going to be ready to go or you're not be ready to go. And in this industry, it's a very fast paced industry, as you know, going on now, especially D3 for how many hats you have to wear. It's a very fast pace and you have to think quick on your feet.
And that's the cool thing. And, you know, I kind of look back at the decision I made, and I think I mentioned it to you in the emails and when I got to talk to you, I took this position at the D2 school over D1 schools. And I think I liked it because the multiple hats, like I get to see exactly, there's more pressure on my shoulder to operate because there's not many people on staff to do these different things. So whereas, I mean, your operations are bigger, but I'm overseeing every single sport compared to where you have particular people overseeing different sports, different things like that. I guess for you, when you made that transition from, you know, a coordinator to being the director, and you said you were already overseeing football and things like that, what was the biggest challenge for you, and kind of what have you learned so far as being the director compared to just being a coordinator?
Besides getting additional responsibilities and things like that, it's the biggest thing is learning how to work with your people who work under you. You have to look out for them. That should be one of your biggest priorities. If they feel like that is an issue, you need to make it your issue as well, because you're here to help them out and you're here to help them grow. I was always told from other people as well, is your job is to teach the person for their next position. So if all these people, the next position is into as a director, assistant AD, well, my job is to get them ready for that next position. And that as a supervisor, as a manager, is the goal, is to help these people get ready for their next position. Mm-hmm. If they want to, if they're passionate about something, you've got to be passionate. You got to be there for them too. You always have to have their back no matter what. It's similar to any, like as a teammate and for any sport. If your teammate's on the ground, you go over there, pick them up. You're always have a teammate's back on whatever you do. And being a former student athlete, and yes, my stats were not the best, but I was always there for the team no matter what. I always thought the team came first. And in that position, and this is where you are now, you got to think about, what can I do to help this team grow? Or in this area, how can I help the facilities and events team grow in their careers at the same time too?
So the one big thing I learned, you know, entering this my second year now is mistakes are part of the game. You can't avoid making mistakes. And I've had a bunch of mistakes in that first year. I would love to hear about, you know, kind of if you can recall maybe any mistakes that you made, whether small or big, or kind of what you learned from it, because I think we all do it, right?
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, in your industry, you're gonna make a lot of mistakes. And like you said, you got to learn from it and hope you don't repeat it. Oh man. When I was a GA, I messed up the schedule a little bit. Well, first time doing a scheduling, so I had to learn really quick on how to schedule it now. So you learn that pretty quickly, how to do it, how to organize everything. And I think key part in this industry is just organization. Everyone has different organizational skills. Some people have a messy desk, as you might can tell from when you came to my office a few times. Some people are very neat and organized, but everyone has a system that helps them organize. But I mean, other mistakes is, let's say shot clock's not working, how to repair that real quick, which happened. One of my very first basketball games, I was overseeing at San Jose State. I received an administrative technical because we couldn't get a shot clock to work. So we spent the entire pregame and during the, like up to the second, about the second media timeout, fixing it. Got it fixed in time, but it's still like, you're like, that hurts because you never want that to happen. Everything should be gone, but those things happen in this game.
And it's so interesting because You talked about the shot clock. Like, that's the same thing for me with basketball. Like, I'm a football guy. So, like, I played football, so I know the football, but I don't know, like, the technical rules of a basketball game, like shot clock. I had to teach our shot clock operator, like, hey, this is when you hit the reset. This is when you go to 15. This is when you do this. So I literally had to, I spent last year reading so many rule books and learning like the technical like manuals of like, oh, if this happens, how do I get the shot clock working? How to get the time clock working? So it's a lot of information. Now you spent, I mean, look at your 3, 6 years doing events and facilities. And based on what you were saying, it seems like it just so happened to fall into your lap. Like this was the opportunity that maybe you didn't mean to have, but it came to you and you stuck through it. And I understand, and the people who are listening who work at facilities and events, it's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of logistics, a lot of stress, you could say. But what exactly, why do you love working particularly in facilities and events?
That's a good question, Kobe. The man, being a former student athlete, you see what happens during the game, what it takes in. I have worked privileged NCAA tournaments. We were a practice site for Copa America. We were the practice site for Super Bowl 50, Mubadala, as you saw firsthand how fan thing. So you see everything, and most people when fans come in, they see the final product. But everything that leads up to it is what is, I think, a lot of the heart and soul of what it is, because all the preparation, everything going on, and what it takes to do it. It doesn't take a day, or it doesn't, like you said, Rome's not built in a day. This takes months to figure out, days, a year sometimes of planning everything out. So it's the gratification of planning everything out and seeing the final product is just very rewarding. It's great to see. You also in this field you're working, you get to meet so many people in the outside of the industry as well. Like I said, I met people from Copa America. I've met multiple NFL teams. I have worked with the U.S. Women's National Team as they prepare for the World Cup. Multiple MLS teams, so that's always been a great experience too. Then in our department, you're working with every single person in the athletic department too, from coaches to administrators to senior staff. So you get to know everyone in his department. And being some of a people person, I like talking to people. And Kobe, you saw me firsthand. I enjoy talking to people. You're working with everyone in the department, and it's just rewarding knowing you're helping so many people in this department. So you don't really interact with student athletes as much on the facility event side, but on a little bit on game days you do. But they know who you are. Like I don't know how many times I know the women's volleyball team. They all say, "Hi, Gary, how you doing today?" So it's always good talking to them. When I was overseeing baseball guys were great to talk to. They were fun to interact with. Being a basketball player, of course, I talk to the basketball guys because that's my sport. But yeah, it's just great to get to know everyone in the department and try to help out where we need to go.
And that's the thing that I've found rewarding because, like you were saying, you know, the outside crowd, outside of the student athletes, they're not the ones who really know what you're doing or the work you put in. If there's the student athletes, the other people on the staff, they know what you do and they put, you know, they give you that appreciation. And for me, I find that rewarding too. But it was funny because when I was talking to, it was the one of the U of M facilities coordinators. He was like, yeah, he's like, if the public knows who you are, most likely that probably means you've been screwing up and they've seen you on the court trying to fix things all the time and things like that.
Yes, absolutely. It's almost like in the football sense, you never want to know who the long snapper is, pretty much. If they not, if they if everyone knows who the long snapper your name is, it's not a good sign. But yeah, same thing too. You don't want to see the event managers ever on the court or field because you know something's happening. I remember I was watching, I think it was the Big Ten championship game one day, and one of the facilities, and they had a little turf issue. And the facilities guys came out, and I was like, I'm in a group text match with a bunch of people from Marshall. We all just say that's our hero right there, saving the game, saving the day for everyone so the game can go smoothly. But yeah, if you were in the background, you don't want to be front and center and everything, because if you're up front and center, you know there's something's wrong. If people don't know who you are and you kind of hide from everyone, you're almost like the invisible man, you're doing your job.
And it was so cool for me. Like you were talking about all the hard work that goes into putting on an event. I remember when I was interning with you guys, helping with the setup for the Mumadala, the professional tennis classic, you saw it went from there's 5,000. I don't know how many, do you remember 5,000 or 10,000 seats? How many seats was it?
The center court sits about 5,000.
But it's
that tournament transform. And you've seen how our facilities are set up, how everything looks. That changes the entire complex of South Campus for us. It does not look like you're on San Jose State campus anymore. It's a world-class event that IMG and Mubadala put on for the tennis tournament. It's amazing.
And if you think it's just an office job, Garrett and I and Julian Cottrell, where they had this this party patio where they had these thick like white mats, like thick white puzzle pieces, and they were probably like 40, 50 pounds, and we laid out like I don't know how many we laid out, but we spent several days in the hot sun during the middle of summer sweating.
Dude, that was brutal. But I mean, it was us with some of the ING people laying that out there, and it was brutal. One thing is, if you do facilities at events, you're gonna get your hands dirty, and it's nice because you're not stuck in the office all day long. But yeah, you are. I mean, you saw what we were doing there, but yeah, even though we oversee all these events, you have Cottrell, Julia, and I moving barricades. We're moving chairs. We're setting up tables because we want to make sure this is right and things like that. And one thing we tell our student workers and interns, we told you this to them, we're not going to ask you to do something that we don't want to do. Because the three of us have all done this. We all have done this in our profession. We've all done it. It's almost like a rite of passage almost going through this thing. But yeah, we're never going to ask anyone to do something that we're not going to do, because it's not fair. And that's the biggest thing, is making sure everyone is knowing, like, we're all doing this together and we're going to help you out, because one, we want to make this a setup right. And two, at the end of the event, we want to go home as soon as possible after being here for about after being there for 6-7 hours, we want to go home.
Yeah. And I say it's so interesting. So my predecessor, he was a great guy, Gary Warren. He's a great leader. He was the one I worked as a student worker for 4 years, but he had like a different, like you were talking about delegating, and he was older. Yeah. So a lot of the things he couldn't do himself. So he was one of those guys that sat there, and I appreciated that, but he always asked if you're okay. What do you need help? Do you need extra hands? Mm-hmm. But also when I got to, to San Jose State, I got to see a little bit different style of it where to be honest, I wasn't expecting, like, you texted me like, hey, we're going to be doing this with the puzzle pieces for the tennis classic, laying them out. And I was like, oh, Garrett's probably, telling me I have to meet some other guys out there. Yeah. And then I see all of you out there, you, Julian and Cottrell, you guys were actually out there doing it. So I took that approach too. Like now, when I ask people to break down chairs, it's not simply, hey, you go break down chairs. It's like, oh, I'm right in the middle of it, helping them break it down. So we, like you said, we can all go home. We've already been here for 12, 14 hours today. Let's all go home as quickly as possible and get the job done. I kind of want you to just reflect. Obviously, like you were saying, you're still learning. You still have a lot of time. You got goals, I'm sure. But just kind of reflect back on your experience of you're the director of events and facilities. You've kind of moved up the ladder. You've built this whole process, and it seems like you find this work very rewarding. What has it been? What has it mean to you for to be at this spot in your career, at this spot in your life, in your sports industry?
Oh man. I mean, it's funny. I just kind of had this talk with my dad yesterday, actually. He was like, ever since I was in middle school, I wanted to work in sports. And that's been my mindset since I was little. I mean, of course it was professional athlete, but it didn't happen that way. Then I wanted to become a coach. I wanted to coach basketball. And then I saw what it was like. Then I saw what my coaches did and what they had to do, the time commitment. And I'm big on family. So I'm hoping one day, and I was like, no, I want to have a family with wife, kids one day too. So I'm in facilities defense where I spend most of my time at the office anyways. but it's like, I just love sports so much. It's a passion of mine. I'm watching it 24/7. I watch, and it's funny, I go to sporting events now too. I'm seeing what these what the other people do. Okay, who's what are the guys on the field doing? What are they doing? What's the security people doing? It's like it's hard to get away from because I want to keep learning. I want to keep help myself grow in this profession. And I know a lot of people on here, but I highly recommend everyone to join CEFMA. It's the National Organization for College Event Facility Management People. And with that group, you're able to go to their webinars and talk to people, network people. I'm in this mentor-mentee program now that we just had our first meeting on Monday, where there's three mentees and three mentors. And I'm one of the mentees because I feel like I am not there yet as a mentor professionally yet. And I know I still have a lot to learn in this industry. So I'm talking to three mentors who have been here for much longer than I have from all different experiences. We got a Power 5 guy, we have a mid-major D1 guy, and I have a D3 guy. But all of our experiences can help each other grow. And even though I'm considered a mentee, we can all learn from each other still. So, but like, yeah, so I mean, like back to your question, it's just rewarding. I mean, I love what I do. This is what I wanted to do with my entire life. I'm in charge of sports. I'm overseeing high level sports competition right now. For some of these student athletes, this is their final stop. And I'm there to make sure they have the experience that they deserve.
Well, thank you, Garrett, for joining me on the podcast. I mean, this was rewarding for me and to catch up with you and just hear hear more about the particulars of your journey and the things that you've learned. I'm sure people out there will be able to take away a lot of great value, and maybe you'll convince them to want to, you know, ditch the marketing and come work for events like both of us.
Yeah. I mean, Kobe, I really appreciate having me on here, and I'm hoping everything's going well with you because I know your work ethic and I know how great you'll be in this business. And anyone who's listening out there, if you want to work in sports, keep going for it. I know it's a tough industry, but if you're passionate about it, good things will happen. Just think, be optimistic about it.
Well, everybody listening, if you're listening to this on the Apple podcast, I ask to give us a rating and review. And like I always ask, just share it with somebody that you may think may find value as well. And like I always say, we are all on our own individual journeys, but you are not alone.